Welcome to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with your host, Tom the Digital Architect Liebelt. Are you tired of spending money on marketing efforts that produce little or no results? Unable to decide whether internet marketing is right for your business? Want to take your brand to the next level but are unsure of what steps to take next? Hey, you're not alone. Join thousands of others in their pursuit of growing a profitable business and learning actionable strategies on how they can outperform brands that are older, bigger, and stronger.
Today, you will hear the second part of the three-part series with my temporary co-host, Mr. Brandon Tully. If you want to hear the rest, either go to smartbrandmarketing.com and cherry-pick them or subscribe to this podcast. That way, you will automatically get them all. Enjoy.
On this one, we'll talk about multiple income streams. And yeah, on the last episode, you mentioned a little bit about doing a couple of projects and you actually lost some money but refocused on the main business. And one of the things that I've been hearing a lot lately is people are saying just to focus on the one thing, right? Which I don't know if you agree with.
Yeah.
I kind of don't.
I think it has merits to a certain degree. I think when you build a business that has some success, it has these assets, this capital, it might be systems, people, processes that can do certain things. And I guess splitting your focus makes sense where your team and resources aren't doing something that's that different to what you're doing now, if that makes sense. You know, if you have a team of designers, for example, and they do graphic design for print, then it's not that much of a stretch to start doing graphic design for the web or web design, for example. But if you had that team of designers and suddenly you want to do SEO, I think that's too much of a distance away. It's too different to what your existing core business is. So it also depends on what stage you are at in business. You know, if you're at that owner stage where you do nothing and you basically own the company and someone else runs it, then that's completely different to if you're in there every day as the general manager, CEO, or managing director, and you're running the operation on a day-to-day basis. That's a very different kind of scenario where you're splitting your focus there. So I think there's two sides to the coin, but you need to be careful that there's an addictiveness to start new projects and that kind of shiny object syndrome. And again, it comes back to you've only got limited time, attention, passion, focus, that on the surface, it doesn't seem like splitting your focus is going to make that much difference. But to go really deep into something, if it's too far away from what you're doing right now, it can actually hurt the primary income generator.
I think initially, if you are just starting out in business and you do start 5 or 6 different projects, there's a really good chance you won't accomplish even one. It's different than, let's say, testing 7 or 8 products in one business. That's very different. I'm not saying you should just go with one product or because, you know, like e-commerce or shirts or books or anything.
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good idea. But I don't think starting an SEO business, a book publishing business, and an e-commerce store, like you should not be doing that at the same time. Not in the beginning.
I mean, if you look at the best businesses in the world and the biggest businesses, they go really deep on one thing. They're not split across a whole bunch of products. You know, you look at Apple, they have probably 5 main products or, you know, maybe 10 main products and a handful of accessories and peripherals. You look at Google, they make whatever, 98% of their money from search and then a little bit of money from these other side projects. So I think to be really successful, you're better off going really deep on something than really broad across a whole range of things and having your fingers in a whole lot of small little pies.
But at the same time, I've heard that on average, a millionaire has 7 different income streams, which kind of would make sense. It's really scary to have all of your eggs in one basket.
I agree that you didn't need to diversify. But again, there's a big difference between running a business and owning a business. They're 2 separate roles. So you can own a lot of different businesses or have, I guess, a non-operational stake in a business or a role in a business, which is very different to being in there on a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I'm really big on building up teams that work by themselves. So anytime I start something new, from the beginning, I'm thinking of how I can systemize it. How can I break it down into different teams? And how can I get them to take all the work over? That's really one of the best things to do because you can then, well, you buy back your time, first of all, right? Which we talked about.
Yeah.
But then you have these teams which are separated by skill sets, right? So like you said, you have this graphics team and maybe they're doing graphics for the web now, but they could easily be doing graphics for book covers or for t-shirts or for product design. I mean, for many different things, it's like that skill set is, it's the same skill set, right? So, I mean, you can easily divert their time a little bit.
Yeah, but I still think there's a lot of merit in going deep as possible as you can go in the market before going broad. But just on the focus thing, I think also, because when we work directly with clients, we kind of split out because, so we work with more traditional businesses, so they don't have a hugely strong understanding of how the web works. So they're still focused on being number one for whatever particular keyword term it is. In the SEO and AdWords space, people talk about keyword research, which we have a different approach where we actually sit down with them and get them to list out the individual specific services they sell. So for a dentist, that might might be general checkup or family dentistry or checkup or whatever, teeth whitening, dental implants, crowns or something like that. So say there's four specific services they want to focus on, and then you can break those out in the business and almost make them mini little businesses. So build a marketing strategy for each one, build systems around it, work out how you're going to get new clients and how that whole process works. So I think by breaking down the business into those individual components like that, and we've been doing that in our business over the last couple of years, and it has a lot of success because you go deep with something rather than going really broad and trying to do a whole bunch of things. We're going really deep. Like our hosting service, we've really, really refined our hosting. And for the market we're in, it's probably one of the best hosting products a small business can buy in Australia. And we just really focused on marketing that and making it work well and seamlessly. And it's really profitable as well. So I think having that focus when you're in your own business and going deep, like if you have a design team, then while a design team can do book covers and they can do websites, they're still two slightly different types of design. So it might be better to go super deep on being the best web design agency rather than trying to do web design and book covers.
I kind of agree, but then I don't. I remember when I was in a AdSense business way before. I don't even know if it's a business. It was more just like building up properties, right? But still, we were making them and selling them. So the business was really much creating them, showing their profit, and then selling them, right?
Yeah.
But I remember some of the people around me, instead of just building up an, you know, pretty good site and selling it, like they were going in deep, like you said, but so deep where it was like the different shade of green they were testing whether it's going to be a better conversion. And the results they got were so minimal that I felt like you're wasting time. People say, why don't you just keep testing new things? I'm like, well, I can build up 15 sites, make them profitable and sell them before you even figure out the next 0.2 percentage conversion point or something, an increase. So I don't know how deep you want to go with some of these things.
Yeah, I think you need to be careful as well. Like there's that 80-20 point that 80% of the results are only going to come from 20% of the work. So some of the other stuff you're doing right now is a complete waste of time. You could just stop doing it and you'd probably be better off. So there's a balance about going deep and milking something versus going broad or replicating it or whatever. So I agree to it on both parts to a certain degree. I think there is a tendency for people to go broad first before they go deep enough, though. That's been my experience and my feeling.
Let's say you're going deep on the operations of your business. And I do that, like with the SOPs and with delegation, I go really, really deep in that. But then when it comes to marketing the business, like I usually go pretty broad because I want to test a lot of new things. I don't want to be the best, let's say, Facebook ads expert for my own business if I can. What if something happens to Facebook? I could be out of commission in like a month, right?
Yeah. Yep.
I feel like I need to test new things. I don't think going deep in that direction is really good.
I mean, what you're really talking about more is the business model there. Like, yeah, I mean, we do Facebook ads for some clients and I wouldn't want to go deep on that because we have a client base and then if we only did Facebook ads, that's all we'd be able to sell them. And that is only a small amount of their spend online. So we sell them hosting, we sell them SEO, we sell them AdWords, we sell them website maintenance. So really, I guess the business model really determines whether it's worth going deep or broad. But I guess it's a specialist versus a generalist versus whatever business model that you think works for your market.
It's like the book Anti-Fragile, right? Because I mean, I can give you examples in almost every niche. Like let's say in e-commerce, right? You got an e-commerce business. You're going really deep. You're making it work really well. Well, one of two things could happen. Let's say the supplier pulls out or you're selling on Amazon and you're actually competing with Amazon. Amazon finds out that you're selling really, really well. They go straight to the supplier and take you out of the niche. But you went really deep. Like you made it so profitable and next day you have nothing.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot of people will talk about you need to build a moat around your business. It needs to be. I recently read, like people talk about USP, but for me, I understand the concept, but in my head, I never really got traction around a USP until I read the book recently, The Blue Ocean Strategy, which for me, that it talks about being unique in your market and competition and all that sort of things, which really was more the mechanics behind a USP. And I think if Amazon can come along and squash you, then your business isn't unique enough or you don't have a strong enough moat around your business. So I think that's something you have to be mindful of as well as, you know, I guess what you're talking about is risk, right? Being mindful of the risk. And if diversifying is going to reduce the risk that much, then it's worth looking at. But if you're just diversifying it for the point of chasing a shiny object or something looks good, then that might not necessarily be the best reason to split your focus.
We both have local SEO agencies, right?
Yeah.
And there's no unique selling proposition there. We're both relying on Google. They can pull a plug out at any time. So that's just one business. I mean, yeah, we can say that we're doing all different things, but it's the same thing in the end.
Yeah, hang on. I disagree with you to a certain aspect.
Okay.
Because we both compete against other companies. So I compete against pure SEO companies. And I will almost never sell a local business SEO without AdWords because it just doesn't make sense because they both have strengths and weaknesses and used together, they're actually a much stronger strategy. So my AdWords combined SEO and AdWords strategy is much better than their sole focus on SEO. And as well as selling them AdWords and SEO, usually we'll move them onto our hosting, which at the core, it's WP Engine, but we have a few other products stacked on top of it. It's a shitload faster than what they're currently on. We have two independent backup systems, so there's no chance they're going to lose files. And we'll move whatever crappy CMS they're on right now to WordPress, which is usually much more friendly than all the other CMSs out there. So that's my basic offering to those local businesses, which is completely different to an SEO firm that really is just going to pump links at that business. Like that's on the surface, it seems the same, but our offering is completely different and our price point is different as well. And the amount of profit we make and the amount of energy that goes into what we do is different to SEO company that's like just pure link farm kind of stuff.
And I like that. I mean, you pretty much just said that when you take a client on, you diversify right away because you separate the income streams by SEO, AdWords, and hosting.
Yep.
But if you did not do that, if I'm looking at just your SEO firm by itself, let's say you have an SEO firm, you're going deep into just the SEO.
Yep.
There's no difference. You can get the rug pulled out at any time. And that's what I mean. Yeah, like, see what you've done already is you did the second step is you diversified. It's still within the same kind of niche, but is it really? I mean, AdWords and SEO, that's really different. It's a whole separate skill set.
To a certain degree, I mean, the delivery is a different skill set, but they're talking to the client, like the building an AdWords strategy is very similar to building an SEO strategy, chasing keywords, making sure they actually have a page of content about whatever that is on their website. And then the stuff in the back end, a lot of it's just mechanics. And there is some crossover, like, you know, SEO, there's this misconception that it's pure links, but writing an AdWords ad is very similar to writing a page title and meta description for, you know, SEO purposes. So there is a lot of crossover. And I guess for our particular market and the clients we deal with, if we're already doing SEO, there's not that much extra work on top to do AdWords for that client, and the result they get is five times better. And it's, like you said, like an anti-fragile strategy because there's going to be a Google algorithm update that's going to knock them up and down a bit. So by having the AdWords as well, we've got the best of both worlds.
It's still different skill sets though. I know a lot of people that do AdWords that have no idea about SEO and then vice versa. And yeah, talking to a client is the same, but it's like comparing an apartment complex to a hotel. Like I can still talk to the client the same way. Like, I'm going to give you a place to sleep. Yeah, you're going to have a lot of neighbors around you. There's an office downstairs, but it's a whole different business model.
To a degree, yeah. Like the way we do it isn't that. Okay, if you split the work out between setting up the campaign and doing the initial SEO work, then the ongoing stuff, the ongoing management of the SEO and AdWords, there's not that much difference. So we have the same guys doing that. Each client has like a monthly action list that we have the same team of people running through. So maybe they just so happen to be cross-trained. I don't know. But they're very closely related. They're not that far apart from each other.
But if you just compare your SEO firm to my SEO firm, let's take all the AdWords and all the hosting stuff away. I don't think there's really that much difference. I mean, yeah, we can separate ourselves by one of us is using quality links versus one of us is being a scumbag.
You could have said better quality links. Come on. But yeah, I mean, at the end of the day, we like our goal is to get the same result for the client, right? To make the phone ring. But that's like, well, you know, if you buy a car, your goal is to get from A to B. You might drive some sort of beaten up car from the 1970s, whereas I might want to drive a Porsche. So there's the utility of something, and then there's the, when you get down into it, you could use an Android phone or an iPhone. Like, it's some of the stuff that comes down to quality or personal preference or whatever.
It's not like using the Droid and Apple phone or different cars, because the thing is that both our businesses rely strictly on Google.
Yeah.
That's the difference. So if you don't have the multiple income streams, and for some reason you are delusional and thinking that in 10, 15 years you're still going to be driving that Porsche because of your SEO business, I think that's a problem.
Yeah. I agree with you. That's actually why we got into hosting, or partially why we got into the hosting, because we had these clients and they were dealing with a web design company that didn't really care about them at all or know anything about getting clients. So we're like, well, we can take that spend off them and do it better. But also it's like, well, you're right. Like, everything is relying on Google. Google changed their mind tomorrow, our business model could be broken. So that was what was behind that push into doing the hosting stuff. And we're actually going to focus more on changing our structure for charging for website maintenance and tweaks and changes, because it's a part of the business we've been doing hourly. We're actually going to change that to like do a fixed fee monthly retainer. cleaner. That works better. It's better from a business perspective and better from a client perspective, and it's not Google dependent.
I just want to make sure that the listeners don't feel better about themselves that I'm talking about SEO only, because I'm not just talking about SEO. That's just an example because we're both doing it, so I just felt like it's a good one. But so many industries will be replaced by artificial intelligence, robotics, whatever else is coming in. So I feel like you need to diversify. The question is, at which point do you stop going deeper and you start looking for different things?
Yeah. I think also, like, there's a couple of things that I've learned over the years that a business has a natural size. So, you know, a business at 5 staff might be a good natural size business for that type of business or that type of market. But a business with 8 or 10 staff, that might not be a natural size. The next jump might be 25 staff. So, and then alongside that, when your business is running well, when it runs really well, it should feel easy and effortless. It's like freewheeling on a bicycle. So I think there's a combination there. If things are going well and it's going to be a huge amount of work to get to the next level, and it's not necessarily going to drop to the bottom line, it might be wise to look elsewhere. But on the flip side of that, if you can do something else and you don't have to increase the team at all and it's only a little bit more work on top of what you're doing and a huge opportunity, then it might be worth looking at.
Yeah, I think that's true. I don't think many people discuss that. But yeah, there is a point where if you hire enough people, you will have to completely change the way you organize your teams from where you're running up to maybe like 100 people. You can still control them in a way where you have your project managers report to you. But after that, there's some point where you just need to completely restructure the business.
Yeah, I mean, there's like a natural law that as a manager or, you know, someone working in business, you can only have 5 to 7 or 5 to 8 direct reports. And then after that, it just becomes just the way natural relationships naturally work. It just doesn't work above that size. Because I remember when we had our IT company, I remember there was a distinct difference when we had 6 or 7 staff. And then suddenly when we went through this growth phase, and the business was very painful when we were at 12 to 15 staff. And then when we were around the 20 staff level, 25 staff, there was actually less pain there because there was more people to sit in those manager roles or take responsibility. So I think, yeah, you do need to be careful about when you expand your team, particularly if they're, I guess it's different to having a team of people in the Philippines pumping out data entry tasks as opposed to a team of people that you work with in person or who are doing really high value work. If you have a team of developers versus a team of, I guess, data entry people, those are kind of two different sorts of teams. So
when you think about the people doing a data entry, only a matter of time before we replace them with machines.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I'm not worried about those, but let's say we have people that are doing more creative things and you have 100 of them and you might think like, oh, okay, well, I just got to restructure the business. That's going to add executives and people into your business right away, and the overhead is what's going to hurt you. Because let's say you had 3 executives, at the minimum $300,000, unless you want to get some people that probably shouldn't be working for you anyways.
Like for me, when I look at diversifying, I look at what assets I have now that we can utilize to do that. Because for us, moving from, I have a team of developers, I have a team of marketing people. So last year when we got back into heavily focused on e-commerce, it wasn't that much of a shift because I had a team of people who could do all the work anyway, you know, team of people who can build e-commerce websites. So that's not a big deal. So I could leverage those assets. But if you have to build a whole new asset base from scratch and you have no experience in that market, you know, that's a totally different thing. And that's going to require a lot more of your focus, whereas I could give it an hour a day of focus and the team do the rest. So for me, that was a different scenario, I think. Too.
Yeah, I still think it makes sense sometimes, even if you are entering a whole new field, but it's just got really, really good potential, a strong upside. But I would not do it until at least one of your businesses is running at least 99% hands off.
I think, yeah, you need to be careful about that shiny object syndrome, just doing it for the sake of doing it or because it's a good opportunity, right?
All right, so I think we kind of covered this pretty well.
Thank you for listening to this episode. If you enjoyed it, please help out by leaving a review on iTunes and don't forget to hit the subscribe button. If you have any questions, hit me up in the comments on smartbrandmarketing.com. Until next time.
Thanks for listening to the Smart Brand Marketing Podcast with Tom, the Digital Architect Liebelt. For more tips, tricks, and interviews, come visit smartbrandmarketing.com. That's smartbrandmarketing.com. And join the newsletter. It's free.